Today, we're looking at July 15th already. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Here we are. Another program on a Friday night. To praise the Lord and be in his presence and see what the Lord will do tonight. Amen. See what the Lord will do tonight. I always want to see what the Lord will do. Doesn't matter what I'm going to do, but what is he going to do? Amen. I'm just his vessel here. But let him do what he wants to do. Amen. All right. Welcome to the program. Let's go ahead and open up a little bit of news here tonight as we start the program on this Friday night and the service together. We meet and gather in the name of the Lord. Amen. Trump, back Michigan Secretary of State nominee, said abortion is child sacrifice. That's right. Sacrifice to the devil. That's what it is. He got that right. Or that nominee got it right. And Satanists want to create their own abortion facilities. Yeah, their master demands a sacrifice. And, of course, that's they want to be exempt because they're a religion. So they could do that, they think. And so the Satanists and the witches and warlocks attack Christians with guttural growls and demonic curses, black-robed men and women, excuse me, began arriving on the scene of a pro-life Christian event, screaming obscenities, right? And the Christian event, over the prayers when they were praying, they brought a wagon with a boombox blasting satanic music. A woman came up and stood next to the speaker at the pro-life event. Every time the speaker would speak, the woman would scream unmentionable curses into a megaphone pointed at the podium microphone. I mean, these people, of course, are demon-possessed to do that. But Satan wants his sacrifice, and he doesn't want it done away with in this country, and he wants to make sure he can continue to get a little innocent blood sacrifices through abortion. Well, Benny Johnson has died. Bill Johnson of Bethel Church in Redding, California, the wife of Bill Johnson, Benny Johnson, has died of cancer. Yeah, well, that's sad, but coronaphobic Britain starts locking down itself. Yeah, locking itself down again. 3 in 10 Brits are staying at home to avoid the virus, and 42% are wearing masks again amid the fifth wave, despite signs that it's plateauing. Well, they've been well trained. Now they know just what to do. Pick up those masks and hide indoors and don't come out of the house. Well, they're planning another one here as well. So, of course, still I see people wearing masks around town. Yeah, fear has won over many people, and it controls them. That's right. It controls them. And this week, after not hearing from this particular evil person for a long time, now all of a sudden he's back in the scene telling his fear stories. Fauci, lying Fauci, back on the scene again, saying stuff to the people of America. That means they're getting ready to pull another one. So, yeah, people need to know that it's coming and be prepared not to buy into it, right? Because we know what it's all about. The agenda must be brought in, they think. Oh, I was walking through some high grass this week. Looks like I got some bites on. I don't think they have chiggers in Montana, right? So what is this? Looks like chiggers, feels like chiggers, but I never heard of chiggers being in Montana, but maybe they are. I don't know. But anyway, Jesus' name, got to go. So who says they're saying, you know who is? WHO, the World Health Organization, they said there are many genders. And they will now focus on highlighting and expanding the concept of intersectionally. That's right. World Health Organization said gender exists on a continuum and is beyond non-binary. So really, they should lose all credibility if anybody's listening to them. They've all already lost it long ago with me, but yeah, intersection, or whatever. That's what they say. Well, okay, they have a manual on this many genders. Oh boy, Afghanistan, Afghan migrant who sexually assaulted underage girls and raped a 12-year-old boy after arriving in France from Afghanistan, tells the court, well, in my country, it's normal to have sex with young boys, so that justifies it. But why are you over in France? If you go to France, you got to kind of live by their laws. I mean, you think you get away with it back in Afghanistan. Church of England won't give a definition of a woman. What's a woman? They won't tell you. That's right. And they are blaming complexities of gender identity is why they won't tell you what a woman is. But what about the Bible? I think the Bible tells us what a woman is. Don't you think that they could just go to the Bible and find out what a woman is? All right, they're compromised. The compromised denomination must have been hanging out with Kamala. She couldn't define what a woman is either. Well, studies show and prove that the electric vehicles that Democrats insist you buy are worse for the environment than gas cars. That's right. They're worse than the gas vehicles for the environment. But they don't want you to know that. They just want to push their Green Deal, their Green New Deal, and force it on everybody. They're also of lower quality. Of course they are. They don't last as long as the gas vehicle. Well, hands off to the Holy Land. That's right. Hands off the Holy Land. Israelis tell Biden, ahead of his visit, he may have already visited by now, but ahead of his visit to Israel, leave us alone. Biden views Eastern Jerusalem as occupied territory and accepts the Palestinian demand that it be the capital of a future state of Palestine, a position Israel totally rejects. But, you know, Biden, he thinks that Palestine needs to have part of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, right? Well, Pastor John Gray admitted to the hospital with life-threatening blood clots. That's right. He has several blood clots and life-threatening pulmonary embolism. So did he take the jab? Probably. He'd been there over a week. Like John Hagee, he was jabbed, even though he had preached to his congregation. Well, you know, Jesus is the vaccine for COVID. That's what he preached to them, but then he went and got the vaccine. I don't understand that one, but that's what happened from what I understand. Anyway, that's all the news I'm going to share this week because I don't want to share anymore. There's a lot of stuff going on out there in the world. We know that. And there are plenty of sources for the news, but this is a source for God's word. So that's what we want to focus on tonight. Amen. And we want to pray and open up in prayer and bring in the presence of God even more than what's already here. Amen. We need him in your life. We need him in mine, right? So we just need a filling up tonight of Jesus. And so praise the Lord. For what he's doing in his people right now. He's doing some wonderful things in people that are just, it's surprising some people. And we praise God for his surprises. They're good surprises. I like the Lord's surprises. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you, Lord. Thank you for moving in our midst tonight, moving mightily on this program. Thank you for ministering to your people tonight. Thank you for delivering them. Thank you for the power of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for new direction and leading us where you want us to be, what you want us all to do. We thank you for divine instruction and direction from the Holy Spirit. Thank you that the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. You're leading us, guiding us, directing each of us so we might be set up where you want and when you want us in these end time hours that we're living in, that we're ready to obey the word of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for that we're obedient children, Father. We're not rebels. We're not going to rebel against the word of the Lord. We're going to be obedient to your heavenly word, Lord. We thank you for the grace to do that. We thank you for the grace to live that way. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to call that our lifestyle, Lord, that we just be obedient to our whatever the Lord says. And if that's you, you tell him that's you tonight, because I am wanting to be obedient to the Lord. I'm not wanting to miss God. Time is short. We need to be about the Father's business tonight. So, Father, I thank you for guiding and leading us, ordering our steps, just taking us where you want us to be in you, Lord. That we will be obedient to our heavenly holy calling, and we will see the moving of our Father and of Jesus in our lives in many ways, Lord, in many mighty ways, Father, as we trust in you and believe in you with all of our heart, that we could just go in and be in your presence, even go in and be delivered, Father, from the things that are hindering our lives today. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Lord. I pray for every listener tonight, those who will listen later. I pray for their family situation, their marriage relationship, that they will be able to get along in their home, Father, and they will be able to be on the same page with their spouses, Lord, and they will not be divided house, Lord. We need to agree together during these times, not be in disagreement. So, Lord, we pray for every married couple that listen to the program, that they can get themselves in agreement with one another, because the place of agreement is indeed a place of power in a relationship. So, Father, we pray for that power to be manifested in our relationship. If two or three can agree as touching anything, it shall be done, you said in your word, Father. So I thank you for that taking place and people agreeing in prayer and seeing the results take place. Hallelujah. And Lord, bless the program tonight, Father. Speak through me, Lord, by your Spirit, and let there be fresh anointing here tonight for your people, Lord, because I'm doing it for them, Lord, that they can be blessed and doing it as unto you by the power of your Spirit and under your divine direction and instruction, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for taking charge here and having your way tonight. In the name of Jesus, be glorified, be lifted up. We cover program, and thank you that the angel of the Lord are here working mightily on our behalf of ministering spirits sent to those who are the heirs of salvation, of which we are tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you that we've been born again from above, Lord, and we're feasting in heavenly places in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right. You ready? Let's get into the word here tonight. Let's get into, is there a stink in the basement tonight? That's the title. So how many of you ever seen an iceberg? And I'm sure you've seen a picture of one, right? At least in a picture. And, right, the majority of the iceberg is always out of sight under the water, and that's why we have the saying, the tip of the iceberg, and that's all we see from above the water, right? That people are kind of like that. People are kind of like that iceberg. All you see is the tip of that person, really, just what's allowed to be seen there. And we have, you know, we know that we're body, soul, and spirit, but they're really the three parts that need to be dealt with here tonight, and that's the outward part, the part everybody sees, your looks, your clothes, your words, your outward behavior. But how many know you can't judge a book by the cover? Usually there's a lot more to them than just what you see on the outward side there. Like I remember a man who outwardly did things right at church where everybody could see him and didn't go to our church. He went to a different church. But he was usually there and faithful. And he seemed like a real servant and helped out in the church wherever he could. And he was a deacon in the church. But this leads me to part two of us, which is the soulish covert area. The mind, the covert is part of you that everybody doesn't see. It's below the water, right? See, at home, this man was abusive to his wife and his family in the covert area. He wasn't kind. He was angry and given to a quick temper. And he once admitted that he even had murder in him and wanted to kill someone. Well, his wife eventually divorced him because he was beating her up. And, of course, everyone at church sided with him. What a terrible woman to divorce such a nice man, right? That's what they said. And they all ostracized the woman, but they didn't know what he was like. That's right, and that's where his demons were certainly very active and certainly manifesting themselves in his life. And that woman he was married to got to see him in full manifestation. Wow. And so there's more to people than the tip of the iceberg. There's more to people than what you see on Sunday morning. There's more to people than what you see just looking at them out there on the street. And that's right. In the covert area of a person's life, often the demons of lust and greed and rage and fear and inferiority and insecurity and hatred and unforgiveness and jealousy, covetousness and lies, unfaithfulness, all these things, right, are there. Yeah, and the God part, our spirit, has faithfulness, humility, love, and other things that can't be seen except for the actions that they cause in a person's life when they yield to the things that are in their spirit, which is many times not happening because they're yielding to their other areas of their life. And so most Christians don't live from their spirit anyway. And most aren't even aware of the third part of themselves. The third part, we're just called the concealed part. The third part is the basement, we'll call it, of your soul, the heart, connected to your spirit very closely. And the Bible says the heart of man desperately wicked. I'm not talking about your spirit. That's where Jesus lives, okay? But there was this third level, and David knew it, and he cried out, as we should cry out as well, in Psalms 139, which would be our first scripture reading here tonight, Psalms 139. I'm turning over there now. And we'll read verses 23 and 24 here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. He was crying out for the Lord to search his heart, see if there be any wicked way in there. And, of course, there is, but not in your spirit if you're born again. But David wasn't born again because Jesus hadn't come yet. But in reality, the only one capable of knowing and showing this part of us to us that we could see it is the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit. And he may use a person to do it sometime, but it will come from the God as a wake-up call. And yet this basement area is probably the strongest factor in determining the direction of a person's life and the direction they're going to go. And this part of us is really the source or the origin of our soul life. the source of the real me. It's the area of our where our motives and attitudes are in manifestation. And how many know that a lot of people, they don't really always know their motives and they don't always really know their attitudes. They just kind of live out things, but they don't really know themselves like, you know, they could be knowing themselves with divine revelation, which is really the only way you really know. It's by the discernment of spirit, discernment of what's really in there. So Proverbs 4:24 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, yeah, we're told to guard this area diligently because out of it, like out of a spring flow, the issues are the springs of life, you know, out of out of your spirit into your heart and on up out of you. And so as with a spring, the things are usually hidden even from our own eyes, right? You can see what flows out, though, even though you rarely see the spring that's the source of a lake or a river or a pond. It's the same with your motives and your attitude. See, we rarely see or even define them, but what flows out of them governs a person's life, both now and in the future. And so, therefore, we're going to have to get aware of some things here within us. We can't be ignorant in this area. We can't be blind in this area, but a lot of Christians are, and they remain that way their whole lifetime. In this area lies the seeds of rebellion, too, sometimes. You know, many Christians go to church and serve the Lord and all, but unknowingly they got a load of rebellion in them. And when a person has rebellion, they want to have things their way. They want to be in control. They want things to go in the direction they want them to go. And it can be seen by wise and anointed men and women of God, by, you know, by whom the folks might hang around with or be rubbed shoulders with at times. They may know they need to break it off, but won't. Why? Well, the seed of rebellion and undealt with demons is in them. And there's really, it's kind of a stronghold in their lives. See, there's a lot of things we don't know about ourselves, see. Like a woman who's been sexually abused, incest within their family. All their marriage, unless they get delivered and healed of it, they're going to have problems having sexual relationships. Because that messed them up. Incest is so degrading and destructive when it's done to someone, that apart from God healing and delivering them, that they carry it all their lives, and that they suffer and they have problems in the marital bed if they're married. So it's just a hindrance in their whole life. Except they be delivered and have the inner ministry of the Spirit of God. Things don't change. And there are other areas too. There's areas where people get in pride and they don't even know they're in pride. Within their attitudes and their motivations, there's a pride spirit operating in there. And they've yielded to them and they don't know that they are. Others can see it, but they can't see it. How can they see it? Pride is a covering for rejection many times or for severe hurts. But pride is a covering. And they get that covering in operation many times. Those demons will get in there and cause people all kind of problems in their lifetime. So we need to find out, you know, what's down in that basement, what's beneath the tip of the iceberg. You know, what's really going on? What's really manifesting through our lives that we don't deal with? Because there are areas that people are just not dealing with in their lives. They're just not dealing with it. Others can see many times, but they can't see it. Maybe they don't want to see it. Or maybe they have an inkling about themselves, but they don't see it. See? That's right. They don't see it. Or they may know, but they can't help but be that way. They may know something's wrong there, but they can't help but be that way. So, yeah, the seed of rebellion is there sometimes. And when one has rebellion, they want to have things their way, my way. Got to be the best way, right? No, God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Read another verse here. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Good characters. It'll also be like they can never quite get their lives together. There's something corrupting them. They cannot get their lives together totally. Something's wrong there. Always something lacking. It's in the basement, concealed part. Something going on in the mind, the deep part, the motive and the attitude area, the heart. This is where rebellion dwells. And the roots of pride as well, not in your spirit, but in the heart, which is attached to the spirit and attached to the soul as well. Jesus exposed and revealed these areas in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? He's talking to people who primarily lived with an emphasis on the outward, what they did, keeping the law, doing the feast and the commandments, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But Jesus reached deeper. He bypassed all that. I mean, he reached past the area of what we, what we do, went into the thoughts, the emotions, the intents, and the intentions, and further into the deepest of motives and attitudes. That's where Jesus, Matthew 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And then verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. So, past the other two into the realm of attitude and motivation, he basically said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed and seen of them. He's touching the motives behind the acts and the covert. Right? See, any act and thought, if it's done from wrong motives, is condemned as hypocrisy, no matter how good or noble those acts might be. Okay? So, what is that? Let's look at this. Hallelujah. Let's define motives. Motives are why I act the way I do. Attitudes are why I react the way I do. Motives are what motivates me to action or inaction. The word motive is derived from the same word we get motor from. And like motors, motives make you go, vroom, vroom, go, go, go. Yeah. Motives and attitudes have certain behavior patterns too with them. And that behavior is impossible to change unless the motive is changed. And some people, their motivation is simply, I want attention, right? You know that some people. You've met people like that. Everything in their life flows from that desire. I want attention. I want attention. Please give me attention. Or someone else is, everybody owes me. Some people like that. Everything flows from that motivation or attitude. Everybody owes me. They must cater to me. Or you can't trust anyone, that motivation, that attitude. I'm this way because of being hurt or because of my parents or because somebody insulted me or somebody else's fault or whatever. But the motives and attitudes are often heavily controlled, at least, at the very least, heavily influenced by demons. Okay, because they've been allowed in there because of your motivations and attitudes. And maybe they're inherited motivations and attitudes as well, generational motivations and attitudes, see. But the truth is most of the people most of people's emotional ways and behavior problems, emotional problems and behavior problems and weaknesses come out from a root problem in the motive, in the motives or the attitudes. In other words, if there's a stink in the basement, eventually there'll be a stink in the whole house. And so we better find out what's going on here so we get rid of the stinking stuff in the basement, right? I mean, the basic issue in motives and attitudes that we face, if we will face the truth, really involves one issue. Who's going to run the show, you or God? Who's going to run the whole thing, me or God? We're going to be in control. God's going to be in control. What are we going to allow to sit in the thrones of our lives? Jesus said in the middle of his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, no man can serve two masters. That's right, Matthew 6:21. He shows us here. Look at read it. Wait a minute. No, that's not 6:25. I say 21. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. No, that's not it. It's 24. Now, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, nor can you serve God and your attitudes and your motivation. If they're not godly motivations, godly attitudes, you can't serve those two. Either. It's either going to be God or you're going to be serving something else. And he shows us that the ultimate conflict is always going to be between my will or God's will. Right? Your own motives and attitudes, they're not easy to see. And we got some blind spots there. Like the man whose wife divorced him. I mean, he wouldn't face his real issues deep within. But God gives us a mechanism in the Sermon on the Mount to see something. That's right. We got to see something is amiss in the basement. He shows us a way to do it. In Matthew 6:25, he said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the body more than meat and is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Are you not much better than they? So what's he telling us here? Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Okay? Take ye no thoughts. In other words, in verse 30, wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't do that. Don't be thinking about that. Don't have a high anxiety problem, in other words. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. But in every thing, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. The anxiety is the indicator mechanism. Okay? If a person is struggling with anxiety in any form, it's a pretty sure indication that somewhere in their life there is a problem with their motives and their attitude. Right? Anxiety will let you know when something in our motives or attitudes is out of line with the word of God, out of whack. So what do I do if my motives and attitudes are out of whack? What do I do if I'm a worrying and an anxious person all the time? Then something has not been set right within. Something is off. Okay? So the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So something's happening in your own understanding that's running the show. When something's going on with your attitude, motivation, and understanding there. So what I do? Well, recognize. Too many won't face themselves. Got to recognize. Got to recognize that there's something off. Because a whole lot of people, they're not facing themselves today. A lot of Christians not dealing with the demons within. They're not dealing with their attitudes within. They're not dealing with their motivations within it. Yeah, they may go from church to church, hopping around, or staying out of church altogether or out of fellowship, blaming others. Something's wrong with them. And they might live all their lives finding fault with everybody else. But no, we must see it's us, not anyone else, that we need to be concerned with. We need to be concerned with our own motivation, our own attitude, our own anxiety situation. And number two, we're going to have to be violent with them when we discover them. Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, what do you do with it? You pluck it out. Not physically take out your eye. But in other words, no matter how painful it is to get rid of it, get rid of it. Deal with it. Get some deliverance. Get some dealing with your attitude and motivation. Deal with it until something changes. And you can walk free of it. Okay? Yeah, and it may be painful to let go of some of the devils that you've hung on to all your life because you're comfortable with them. They're comfortable with you. You're comfortable with them. You've had them a long time, and boy, you just wouldn't know how to live without them, so why would I want to get rid of them? But yet they're sabotaging your life. They're sabotaging your closeness with Jesus. Number three, God will let others see clearly. In other words, after opportunities are given to deal with it, you don't deal with it. It may be brought out into the open, into the outward, like it was with John Gray not too long ago. And like in the past, Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker way back when. But, you know, if you have an attitude of superiority, it may blossom into full-blown pride and arrogancy, eventually becoming outright rebellion and independent, which leads to always deception and ruin. Like David Alsobrook, he got puffed up, mad at God, angry, and he got in deception and died in ruin. I mean, died in deception. It's sad. So sad. Like King Saul, he died in deception also. Because he wouldn't deal with it inwardly, the inward stuff that was going on that turned into rebellion. And he wouldn't deal with any of it, the pride. And his attitudes and his motivations were wrong. So what do we do? Number four, pursue a healthy or a single eye. Matthew 6:22. Let's go read that one here. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So develop a single eye. If your eye is clear, your whole body is going to be full of light. Jesus is referring to singleness of motive and purpose. In other words, no hidden agendas, hidden motivations and attitudes. I'm telling you, this is a snare to many people's lives, of course, and you probably know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, yeah. Maybe you have ever taken the time to sit down and examine your motivations and attitudes in your life. But it is advisable, and do it by the power of the Spirit. Don't just try to do it on your own. Ask the Holy Spirit to manifest it. And show you something. See, what's in the basement is like a giant in people's lives. It can be a giant as well. A seed, you know, giants and originally were seeds of Satan. But let's go to 1 Samuel here. And so really giants still are seeds of Satan, even though they're not physical seeds of Satan necessarily. Because, you know, where do giants come from? The angels mating with earth women, and then the giants were birthed. So there was a seed of Satan in these beings that were born from that. So 1 Samuel 17:10, it says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So when you have a seed of Satan defying you, what can happen? You can get afraid, very afraid. You can be intimidated. and it might be in your basement, and it might be controlling you by fear of what your life would be like without it, or some other way of fear. Do you think America's facing any giants today? Well, they're all over the place. Do you think any Christians are in fear today? Oh, lots of them. Lots of them. Their life is governed by fear instead of by the Holy Spirit. And listen, you've got the wrong governor. You're going to have to do something about that. You're going to have to quit letting that wrong governor usurp the authority of God and call you to be in living in disobedience to God, living in fear all the time, in disobedience. God didn't call you to live in fear. He called you to live in faith. So, yes, America is facing giants today. High gas prices, takeover, trying to be taken over by the Democrats. And, well, how about the church today? Liberalism is invading the church. All kinds of things invading the church. How about you? What's down there? Is there something defying God in there? Like the giant did, he said, I defy you. I defy your army. I defy the armies of the living God. He's a giant that I defy. That's one of the goals of giants, to defy you, to defy God. Defy means to confront, to stand up to challenge, and to withstand. And you think that's what devil's doing today? Satan and his forces are doing all three, all these. And Satan and his evil one, they're trying to stand in the way of your victory, your blessing, your deliverance. They're defying you. They're standing up against the truth, and they're holding their position within the basement. They're under you, inside there, hiding away, holding their position firmly in place. They don't want you to come in there, snoop around in their area, and find them out and drive them out. They don't want that going on. No, 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 no. They're going to hold you in their grip if they can. But see, we have a way that we don't have to be held in their grip anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. See, God has victory for us. Whatever it may be, whether it be in your family, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, whether it be a personal victory, whether it be a victory at work, God has victory for his people, but his people are going to have to, you know, get violent about it, take charge and take it in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit of God. Charge against the enemy, in other words. Yeah, uproot him. But we see things and we hear things, and our giants dismay us. We see the giants all around. They want to keep killing babies, and they hate people who are pro-life, and they get afraid. You don't want to give your testimony. You're afraid someone will persecute you. Yeah, our giants dismay us, and they make us greatly afraid. They make you terrorized. Dismay means to fill with dread. Some Christians are filled with dread about the future because they've heard all these things going to happen, heard all these things going on. The future looks bleak. No, it doesn't in Jesus. The Bible says the righteous are going to shine brighter and brighter until the full day, the return of Jesus. So, yeah, there may be some stuff to go through, but then the apostles went through stuff too, which was equal to the tribulation in a way, because they were all martyred for their faith. They all gave their life. And not every Christian is going to give their life during the tribulation. Some will, but not all will. We all need to be willing to, but not all will have to. Okay? So, his forces are at work, but we have the power of God. We can overcome, my friend. We can rout out these things that are within us. Yeah. Many Christians today are facing these conditions in their lives, see? Anxiety, terror, trouble, fear. Yeah, many are troubled and discouraged and in fear, and they often cannot identify. Well, they cannot identify why this is going on in their lives. They can't identify why. Well, you know, there is a hidden lurking giant who is standing, defying, and working against them. Yeah, that's right. And they need to recognize what's going on. And they need to declare all that war on it, that enemy. Let's go to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. And my pages here, pulling them apart. Because those two are stuck together, it appears. There we go. All right, 6, 4, and 5. Here it says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare to them. And the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yeah, only evil continually. In their basement, it was only evil continually. That's all. Continually. That's a pretty bad condition to be in. So where did the giants come from? Well, in the natural, they came from the fallen angel. The fallen one. Okay? It came from the evil seed of fallen angels, mating with humans. And somehow, this happened again even after the flood, somehow, to produce Goliath and other giants. And remember, Goliath had brothers that were giants too, so he was just one of them. Somehow this happened again, and I don't understand how it happened, but some angels must have been disobedient and continued. And so it happened again after the flood. So if the seed is not of God, then it isn't good. And we've been given authority and dominion over it, right? That's what the Bible said. We have authority and dominion over the things in the earth. And especially under the new covenant, Jesus gave us full dominion and authority over things in the earth. And these devils are in the earth. So Psalms 8, I'll read another verse here. Psalms 8:4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, or under his dominion. So David knew this, but he wrote it, right, under the inspiration of God. He knew that he had a covenant with God, and that greater was he that was with him. We could say greater is he that is in us, but he couldn't say that. But greater is he that was with him than the giant he was facing there at that time. So there are physical, material giants, and there are spiritual giants. And the giants are giants, and they are not of God. And we've been given authority over all the works of the enemy. So how long will we let these giants terrorize us and cause us to live in fear and stand in the way of the blessing and of the victory that God has for us? See, the giants you face today will not be overcome by your cunning or your control, but by your commitment to walk according to God's word and your authority in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We overcome by faith, not by force or by physical strength. One shall put 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. If we get two or three to agree at touching anything, any giant, we can win. We can overcome them fighting together against a common enemy releases divine supernatural power. Fighting in the spirit, warring in tongues. Just go to war in the warring tongue. Fighting and striving with other people, other Christians will release demons into your lives. So quit that. Striving with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Going to release demonic power, and the giants within will be strengthened and empowered. When you are doing that, you're just empowering the demon. is just empowering the giants in your life, the things that are in the basement, beyond the view. It's just going to empower these devils. We don't want to empower them. We want to dis-enthrone them. We want to get them off the throne and get them out of our lives so they can no longer manifest and rule anymore like they have for so long. 1 Samuel 17:29. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a duty? Is there not an errand, a reason? Yes, there is a reason that you're here. There's a reason that you're here right now. Okay? You got to know that. You have a destiny to fulfill in your life. You have a calling. Yes, you are called to take dominion and to call things that are not as though they are. Yes, you are called to be a partaker of the divine nature and to receive from God and enjoy the promises of God and receive them and enjoy them. Remember, the cause for which you were born and called of God in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the terror, you've been called, and there is a cause, okay? There is a reason. You're not just here for no reason, as it said here. You're called to follow God. You're called to serve your spouse, to put your house in order. If it's out of order, put your house in order. By the Spirit of God, you could do that, because I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Remember who you are. When the giants are closing in on you and are defying you and terrorizing you, remember who you are. David did. David remembered who he was. Look at verse 33. He remembered it. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, the servant, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. Look out, devil. There's a David in you. There's a David in me that needs to rise up and deal with that which has defied the army of the living God. The person, we are the army of the Lord. We are kings and priests. We're soldiers in God's army. And how dare this giant defy us? How dare he make that kind of attack upon us? Sometimes the only way to get through a giant's taunts and threats and terrors and fears that he puts out there or to remember how God had come through for us in the past. Have you God ever done anything for you in the past? Huh? Remember what the word says. He is faithful. He will always be faithful. That's right. He is a faithful God. Sometimes, you know, the present victory becomes dependent on knowing that there has been a past victory. Right? You had a victory in the past? Remember it. Put yourself in remembrance. Remember to put yourself in remembrance. Remember, Jesus has showed up and come through for you before, and he will show up and come through for you again. Absolutely, in Jesus' name, he will. I believe it. There was a lion, and there was a bear. And he prepared us for the bear and for the lion. And the bear prepares us to face our Goliath, our giants that we have to face. You know, God wants each of us to develop a history with God. You have a history with God? I got a history with God. I've seen God come through so many times. I've seen God manifest himself so many times. So put yourself in remembrance of your history with God so we can turn through the pages and say, oh, yeah, I remember how God did it. I remember God stopped that devil. I remember God, yeah, he manifested back then. Oh, yeah, he did that. He did that. God showed up mightily for me. Oh, and stop that devil of poverty, that devil of sickness. Oh, yeah. Together, we overcame. We overcome that division. We overcome that fear. We overcome that hurt. We overcame that pain. Whatever it is. Amen. Because your life is not luck. It's not just good fortune or happenstance, okay? It's the power of God. It's Jesus walking in you through the Spirit. Yeah, your life is in Christ. And so it's not just good, oh, I just had luck that day. No, you had Jesus that day. You had the power of God that day. You had a manifestation of his grace that day. Yes, our lives consist of processing by God. He's processing us, bringing us to the where he wants us to be. Times of serious spiritual warfare also. We have times like that too. There'll be serious spiritual warfare at times in our lives. We have to engage the enemy. We have to learn to prevail against him. There'll be conflict. There'll be attacking and being attacked and counterattacking. Your destiny, your calling, your growth, your future, they're resting on your response. How are you going to respond? How are you going to respond when the devil comes in with a great attack upon you? How are you going to respond? What are you going to do? You're going to revert back to the natural way of thinking? You're going to revert back to your being in control? Or are you going to turn to Jesus and the power of all heaven, which stands available to you? What are you going to do? Yeah. All things that we face in our lives might not be beautiful. How many know that? Not everything we face as a Christian turns out just like we wanted it to turn out. And some Christians are bitter right now because they're not. Deuteronomy 1:21. Said, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. He said it before us. But yeah, everything wasn't beautiful in that land. They had to overcome some obstacles, some giants, some difficulty. But nevertheless, he set the land before them. Okay? Look at Paul's life. Look at David's life and Moses' life. Yeah, there were some difficulties. It wasn't always beautiful there. But don't let the giant discourage you. You know, look at what God did in Paul's life and David's life and Moses' life. And look at the good that he did. Look how he delivered them out of these things. See, all that should be to realize that God is working all things out for your good. And in the end, it's going to make sense. And we do have a destiny to fulfill, whether it seems like a little or large destiny. It's still, God has callings on our lives, things that he wants us to fulfill, battles that he wants to fight, wants us to fight. He wants to fight through us, that is. That's correct. Amen. But you got to know that you and everybody else has their personal giants, their personal demons to be defeated. Whether you defeat them or not, that's up to you. You can live with them, put up with them, endure them, be terrorized by them and troubled by them all the time, or you can take and turn the battle around and take it to them and make it difficult for them. Make it difficult for the devils there. Yeah. Make it very difficult. You know, some are generational curses, like I said. Some may be passed down because your parents and grandparents didn't deal with it. Or there may be spirits that you picked up in life through various negative experiences, through your sins, right? Yeah, it could be insecurity, could be, you know. Unforgiveness, could be jealousy, unworthiness. You know, I had to deal with the giant or demons of rejection and fear. But I decided I'm not going to let these personal demons stop me. So I moved ahead. I moved against them. I started speaking to them and eventually got delivered from them. And I slayed my giants. What about you? You got some giants that you need to slay. Yet the giants have brothers, right? There are many giants. we all going to face through our lifetime. You know, you need to face these giants, so you get prepared. David was prepared. In 1 Samuel 17:40, we find out that he was prepared. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine, to the giant. We're going to have to draw near to the Philistine. We're going to have to get up in their ugly face to draw near to the Philistine, draw near to that giant. And he had 5 stones because Goliath had 4 brothers. And he was ready for the brothers just in case they decided to come out. Yeah, just in case, you got to be ready. Amen? Just in case, you have to deal with another giant there. So, yeah, be prepared. Be prepared. Remember, a demon is never alone. Where there is one demon, there is more demons. They never travel alone. There's more demons. Okay? There's never just one demon in any human being. There's more demons. Where there's one, you're going to find more. Okay? So, hey, when you go up against your giant, do it in faith. Go in faith and declare the victory beforehand and see the victory before you ever saw it take place and believe the victory before it ever took place, right? In the natural. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, verse 45 and 17 chapter, with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. See, he is speaking the future. He's speaking what was going to happen before it ever happened, calling things that are not as though they are, because they were going to be. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. I'm going to cut your head off, devil. I'm going to cut your control off of my body. I'm going to cut your head. See, your head speaks to the dominating part, the part of control. So we cut the head of those devils off. I'm going to cut the head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. There's a God in Israel. Amen. That I serve the living God, that I have a God that's real. So you go up against your giant in faith, declaring the victory, even though it might not have happened yet. But it has happened as far as you're concerned. See, if we live our life that way, that's a life of faith. David declared the end of the battle before it even began. Hey, he said, giant, by the way, I want you to know your destiny. You're toast, buddy. I'm going to cut your head off, boy. I'm going to put you down today. I'm taking you out, devil. Yeah, I want you to know it. You shouldn't have messed with me, devil, because now you done stirred up the anointing of God in me against you and the power of God against you, devil. You shouldn't have messed with me. See, David believed in the superiority of faith over fear, and you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to believe that faith is superior to fear all the time, because your fear has become superior to your faith in a lot of cases and a lot of believers today, and that is not the way you're going to make it through these end times. Your faith is going to have to be superior to your fear. It's going to have to be able to put the fear under your foot instead of letting the fear dominate you and being anxious about things all the time. Amen. Amen. Trust over terror. That's right. It's like faith over fear, trust over terror. The name of the Lord over the wiles or the seeds of the devil. Amen. The name of the Lord is a big name. It's a name above all names. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you've got that name. You've got the empowerment of that name. You've got the authority to use that name. So why are you subject But that which is in your basement trying to control you and causing you anxiety, why are you letting these giants continue to have you subject to them? See? The victory. You need to see the victory in advance. Believe the victory. And declare the victory out loud. Don't just keep it all inside. Just sit in your car, your room, declaring the victory. You need to learn to talk victory. In order to have victory, you've got to learn to speak victory. And you need to know who you are, walk like it so, and talk like it so. Mm-hmm. In other words, what giant can prevail to the believer who walks like that? What giant can prevail against a believer who's walking this way? So get ready now to go and to start taking out your enemies, your giants, the stuff in your basement, the covert stuff, the basement stuff, all of it, enemies. They keep you from fulfilling God's will. How many enemies are standing in the way of you fulfilling God's will in your life today? How many are in the way, hindering you? How many are blocking you today? Yeah. Well, tell them to stop in Jesus' name and begin to put action to that. Speak to it. Speak it. Speak its end to it. It's the seed of Satan, not of God. Okay, so there you have, for you have authority over it. You have authority over it. Use your authority. Amen. Use your authority. Speak things. You know, if you feel like you're just so much in fear, start speaking in tongues more. It'll build your faith. It'll build you up in your most holy faith, the Bible says, when you're speaking in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. Just begin to pray in tongues more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ought to be a man or woman of faith, not of fear. You don't want to be known as a person of fear. You want to be known as a person of faith. And you got to be a bold person, too. Can't be ashamed and afraid. And you've got to be a person who knows how to put God first in every area of your life, including your finances. And I'm not taking up an offering, but I'm going to tell you something that saves you a lot of problems in life. Okay? Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. What does that tell us? Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of all thy increase. In other words, 10% off the top of everything you increase. If you get $10, $1 off the top is God's, right? And then what's going to happen? You know, he's going to say your barns will be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine, and all these things won't go wrong all the time, and you won't be sabotaged all the time. The tither is blessed above all, you know, all the other Christians. It's the person who's tithing, because God said, hey, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for you. Things are not going to happen to you that are happening to other Christians. Like it says in Malachi chapter 3, for the tither, he's saying here, if you bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, I will open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord. See, that's why you're having so many problems. You're not tithing. You know, these people that don't tithe, and they're robbing God, because it says here that if you don't give your 10% to God, you're robbing God. It says in verse 8 of Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. You have cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. They were all robbing God because they weren't tithing. Or a good part of that nation was robbing God. And therefore, they're having all these problems. And I tell you, Jesus does mighty things in the lives of a tither. When you put God first in your finances, then I tell you what, he does something special for you. He even rebukes the devourer. This is God's promise of blessing. When you hold back your first fruit, then things are going to go wrong in your life, see? You're cutting yourself off from the blessing. And God wants to bless you. Okay? He wants to bless you. Why shouldn't you be the one that he blesses? And why should you be the one to hinder or block that blessing out of fear of giving or fear you won't have enough or just being plain stingy? So why do people fear giving to God? But lack of trust in God to really supply their need, to really do what he says he's going to do. Yeah, when we won't give, we prove we don't believe him. We're afraid we won't have enough. Well, be sure you won't. If you don't tithe, you won't have enough. There will never be enough. It'll always be like seeping out. You put your money in bags with holes in it. In other words, it says in, what is that, Haggai? Yeah. There'll never be enough when you don't give God the first fruits. And you're in fear because fear gives place to Satan. Amen. So, hey, we're going to have to wake up that some of us are just not walking as we should be walking, and therefore things are not happening as they should be happening. Well, of course, we all get attacked, but there's something about the tithe that he's blessed or she's blessed incredibly above those who refuse to do that. And listen, we need to be gentle saints too. Okay? We need to be gentle saints. What does gentle mean? It means to be patient and gracious. And synonyms for gentle include forbearance, reasonable, soft, tenderhearted. Bible speaks of gentleness. Okay? Now understand that gentle doesn't mean you're a doormat and make the mistake to think that to be godly, you have to let people run over you, spit at you, and take advantage of you and mistreat you. That's not what it means. Not what it means. Let's read another scripture here, because I want to close out here today with talking a little bit about gentleness so that you get the right perspective here. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, notice it said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. How many know that he put that there? Because it's not possible to live peaceably with all men. Okay? Paul's saying, if it is possible, let you know that some people are not going to let you live peaceably with them. By saying, if it is possible, Paul lets us know that there's a limit to reasonableness, tenderness, and being gentle. So you got to continue to walk in love, yeah. But some people have a false impression of what it means to be a Christian, and to walk in love, because the Bible says to always walk in love. Well, love is not always to be soft-spoken with a smile on your face and just, everything just wonderful and treating everybody with just this extreme love. No, Jesus was an example of love, but did Jesus always smile? Jesus was so angry, he overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple and even had a whip. He did notice, right? This biblical account of Jesus was demonstrated in love. He did know that. It was a demonstrating of his love. Jesus didn't say, now, please, brethren, take these things from my temple. No, no, he told them, get out. He took a whip. Yeah, we love, but, hey, we're violent with devils. And we've got to be violent with the devil, okay? Because they will be violent with you. And we have to be violent with demons. We have to get those demons put in their place where they belong, okay? Get out in Jesus' name. We're not playing with your demons. We're casting you out in Jesus' name, okay? Amen. Amen. So we deal with them devils, and we're not dealing with them. We were violent with the enemy, and the enemy had filled these people in the temple. They were full of a devil. Jesus went in there and dealt with those devils that were in there. And this was love talking, because love always tells the truth. And he called them a generation of vipers and hypocrites. He called that to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the lawyers. Call them a generation of vipers and hypocrites. That's love. And I remember Mormons. I just laid into some Mormons the truth and tell them about what they really were, a bunch of hypocrites, and you're going around calling yourself an elder. You're 18 years old. You know elder? and different things. I tell them about themselves, and they say, well, you're not walking in love. Oh, yes, I am. I'm telling you the truth. Speak the truth in love. I was speaking the truth in love, hoping that they would hear somehow what was being said. But they didn't, of course. They just turned around and, you know, criticized, and because they've been trained, those Mormon missionaries, trained to what to say when they deal with a Christian. But still, you don't just play around with them and act, oh, bid them Godspeed. The Bible says don't bid them Godspeed at all, right? Because if you do, you're a partaker with them in their false doctrine. In other words, don't say, oh, God bless you, we appreciate you, and, you know, have a great day and all that. No, 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 no. That's not what it said. It doesn't say to do that. You need to know that. It's in Second John, verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of truth, the doctrine of Christ, or receive him not into your house. Don't say, come on in, buddy, you know, to them Mormon missionaries. You come on in, have a seat there, bud. No, no, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. It shares in his false doctrine, in other words. You're agreeing with their evil deeds. You're giving them greeting. You're giving them, see, don't do that. Don't do that. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say that. That's at 3 John. I'm 2 John. That's what it says. Verse 10. Read it yourself. 10 and 11. Yeah. Jesus was our example of love. He was. But he wasn't always smiling. He was dealing with stuff. He was standing up to stuff. He called them a generation of vipers and hypocrites, whitewashed sepulchers. This was love talking. This love tells the truth, and this was the truth about him. See? It's the person who tells you the unvarnished truth who truly loves you, because it is only the truth that can set you free, right? Right. Remember, to be gentle means to be patient and gracious. This doesn't mean simply sitting around being cool while waiting for what you want. It means doing whatever you can by the Spirit to the best of your ability while waiting, even despite the circumstance. And yes, having the ability to wait a long time can be part of it sometimes. Patience also means the ability to endure, or endurance. Amen. We endure to the end. The Bible says, blessed is he, right? Blessed is the ones who endure to the end. If the days are cut short for the elect's sake, right? Yeah, Jesus is saying you develop and take authority over who you are as a person by exercising patience. Patience is something that's going to have to be developed over time. And the only way to develop it is by learning and being patient in the act. It's on-the-job training. All right, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 1, chapter 1 says that. Yeah. Patience includes trials, testing of your faith. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of people who have developed patience today. Oh, yeah, they let their soul run them. They let their basement run them. Their soul is not, you know, processed properly, because it isn't walking in patience. That's why they have all kinds of troubles, and devils too, financial crises, sexual crises, interpersonal problems, all because they have not possessed their soul and allow their soul to be processed by the Word of God, right? As it talks about in James, demons possess their souls. They have demons in the soul. What is the soul? The mind, the will, and the emotion, not the spirit, but they're talking about the soul, the soulish area, the mind, will, and emotion. Amen. You know, God allows some certain trials today so that as you trust and do what his word says to overcome these trials, they'll develop your life. After all, how do you know what you can take? You don't know. You don't know what you can stand in, having done all stand, until you actually have to stand and see the result of having stood. Then you know, hey, I can stand through this by the grace of God. And you can. You got to declare that you can before it happens, but still, you don't know the whole thing till you go through it. But let patience have its perfect work, right? Let patience have its perfect work. Means maturing, means a maturing work. That's a perfect work because that's what's happening as you endure. You are maturing. God is maturing his children. Amen? He's maturing you and me. That's what's going on. He's bringing up to grow up into Christ Jesus. We're growing up into Christ as the Word of God tells us. Let's read one last scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, you have need of patience. You have need of patience. Why are you running from patience? Why are you saying, I don't have any patience? Oh, I don't want to have any patience. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, so there's action, there's patience, there's action, and there's receiving. Amen? Patient, action, receiving. That's how important your patience is. And here is patience, gentleness, graciousness, and love all tied together. Yeah, all tied together in Romans 12. Let me read that. One more place here that I thought of here that I want to read. 12:9-12. He said, love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Wow. That's right. Being gentle is marked by being gracious, kind, and courageous. Being patient in tribulation means enduring whatever coming against you, but it doesn't mean just to stand there and let somebody destroy you, let some demons destroy you. That's not what enduring is. It's enduring is enduring in the battle. You stand against the powers of darkness. You resist the devil until he flees from you. You endured the battle. You stood in the spiritual conflict and prevailed. Okay? That's being gentle, kind and courageous, patient in tribulation, enduring. Okay? It means having a long fuse instead of a short fuse. It always hopes that the other person will back off and get saved, get right, or have understanding. But if a person keeps pushing, it's a devil and it's a demon, okay? And I believe there is a time to stand up and say, no devil, right in their face, if need be. No devil, you know. There's time to be gentle, and the real gentleness and love, though, is confrontive, and it's bold, and it speaks the truth. And people don't like the truth. They hate the truth today. They all want to speak in a bunch of lies out there in the world, and they hate the truth. But see, we're irritants to them, too, because if they reject the truth, we're just irritating them because their lie gets exposed for what it is, a lie. That's why these weird people just scream because they can't take the truth. If they're just screaming at these meetings or when Christians are around and saying stuff to them, they start screaming. If they're just screaming obscenities and letting demons manifest, you know, then they don't have to hear the truth. But what people need to do when they start that screaming is just say, I rebuke you, devil. Hush in Jesus' name. Be muzzled in Jesus' name. I bind you up in Jesus' name in chains. I bind you, demon. Be muzzled in the name of Jesus. And just start speaking to that demon until it stops. And then a person has to hear the truth. Amen. So, yeah, there is a time to stand up. Okay, God's the same way. He let things go so far, and then he stands up in judgment. And there's the wrath of God coming on the earth, but it's not coming to us as believers, but it is coming against the ungodly because they rejected Jesus, see. So he let wickedness in Noah's time go a long time before the flood. You remember the story? They got pretty wicked, right, before the flood. They were really wicked. All the imaginations of man's heart were continually wicked, continually. There's no good there. They weren't getting any good from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They just did the bad, the wicked, the evil part. But he was patient, but then it came. And it may seem that God just allowed evil things to happen, but oh no, he's coming. He's going to stand up, and he will pour out his wrath on the wicked, and you too don't have to just endure forever. The time will come, and it'll be over. It'll be over, and you'll prevail. In Jesus' name, saints, you'll prevail. God gives you the ability to prevail. He gives you the power to prevail. So, yeah, gentleness, you need to understand it. It's not just laying back and letting yourself get trampled all over by demons and devils and people who are the devils are in. No, no. It's not that. Okay. Glad you understand that. Father, we thank you for this tonight, and thanks for just all the things we shared, the power of the things that we shared tonight by your Spirit today. Thank you for the power in the Word of God, the power of truth, the liberation of truth, the delivering power of truth. We thank you for it all, and we give you the glory for it. We thank you for moving mightily, Lord, at deliverance tonight, too. And we praise you for that, and we praise you for the transforming of our life, Father, that we find out what's in the basement, go in and clean the basement. Yeah, as we deal with the other parts of our lives as well, Father, we deal with that covert area too, in Jesus' name. And not let these things prevail in the name of Jesus. Instead, we prevail over them. We prevail over the darkness. We prevail over the lies. We prevail over the things that are deep within us that we might not even be aware of, Lord. But we're going to prevail. They're going to be exposed. They're coming out. We're understanding better and better and better and growing in grace and truth, Father, more and more and more. We thank you for that today in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. All right, we'll be right back, and we will do some delivering. Okay, let's deal with anxiety and fears tonight. But we did talk about that before we go on to some of the other things that we can deal with. Definitely want to deal with anxieties and fears tonight, the spirit of anxiety. Maybe it's just a long-term family line deal that not only you deal with, but other people in your family, or maybe it was because of things that have happened to you. But we rebuke the spirit of anxiety. We break the curse of anxiety and command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. Come out, 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 come out. Anxiety, go in Jesus' name. All that anxiety, all that being anxious, all that having to be in control, being out of whack internally, and allowing that anxiety to come up, we rebuke the anxiety and we come against whatever that root is, that root spirit in there that is causing the other problems that brought anxiety in the first place. You go right now. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Let it go. All the way out. All that anxiety. Go. All the way out. All the way out. All that anxiety. All the way. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All that fear, too, come out. All that fear, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirit of fear. We rebuke the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus right now. All that fear, fear of the giants, fear of your trouble, fear of the things that are harassing you and troubling you, go in Jesus' name. All the way out. Come out now. All that fear. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there. All the way out. All the fears, you have to go. Come out. Keep going. Come out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus against these fears, fears of the future, fears of the coming wrath of Satan, fears of him coming down and being angry at all humanity, come out. All the way out trying to destroy us all, we rebuke that fear. Fear of Satan, fear of demons, fear of the darkness in the land, fear of the future, come out. Fear of not making it through the rough time, come out. All those fears, fear of the family not getting saved and going to be with Jesus, fear that you're not going to make it, come out. Fear of falling away. All these fears that the devil beats you up with, beats the people of God up with, let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Take some calls. Breathe them out. Cough them out. Let them go. All that fear. Come out. Out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Come out, fear. Come out, fear. All those manner of fears. Come out. All those types of fears. You have to go in the name of Jesus right now. I rebuke you, fear. The Lord rebuked those fear spirits right now. Go all the way out, up and out of there. Go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Where is it coming from then? Well, hello, who else is there? All right. So God did give it to it. You know where it came from. Come out of there all the way out. Let go of it. Come out, fear. Come out, fear. God does not give us a spirit of fear. God is not wanting you to be in fear. He said, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, throughout the word, fear not. Saints of God, fear not. We don't have to fear. We have to walk in faith. We don't walk in fear. We walk in faith. So all that fear has to go. In the name of Jesus right now, go, 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 out, 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 out of there, out, 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 out of there, all the way out. All that fear, all that fear, all that fear, come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All the way out, all the way out. Hurt by Father, rejection by Father. You come out right now, all the way out. Father wasn't there for you. Father didn't father you like he should have and been there and nurture you, cause you to be a healthy child. But no, no, you were rejected. You come out of there right now. Go in the name of Jesus. Rejection by Father, come out. Rejection by Father, come out now, come out now, all the way out, all the way up out of there, go, go, rejection by Father, hurt by Father, rejected by Father, come out, come out, come out, come out, abandoned by Father, maybe Father wasn't even there at all for you, come out, come out, Come out, abandoned by your father. Come out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. All that abandonment by father. Come out, all the way out. Abandonment by your earthly father. Come out. Rejection by your earthly father. Come out. Hurt by your earthly father. Come out. Abused by your earthly father. Come out. Traumatized by your earthly father. Come out. Trauma. Come out. Traumatized by your father. Come out. In the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come all the way out. Go. In the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, you have to loose them and let them go. All the way out. Jesus' name. We come against a divisive spirit. Divisive, trying to divide the home. You come out of there. That divisive spirit. Come out. That divisive spirit trying to divide you in your home, divide your marriage relationship, your children relationship. All that divisive spirit. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go. Out. All the way. Let it go. Breathe it out. All the way out. Let it go. Keep coming out of there. Up and out of there. The divisive spirit. Come out. Divisiveness. Come out. Divisiveness. Come out. Laziness. You come out. Laziness. Come out. Come on. Laziness. We rebuke the spirit of laziness right now in the name of Jesus. Go. Come out. All that pride you come out to. Pride. We rebuke the spirit of pride. Tonight we were talking to you, pride. These spirits of pride, these spirits that are arrogant, these spirits of exaltation. You come out of there in Jesus' name. All that exaltation, come out of there. All the way out, that self-exaltation, all that self being puffed up, all that pridefulness, you got to go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, all that pridefulness, go. We rebuke those prideful spirits in the name of Jesus right now. You got to go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. All that pridefulness. Go. Go. In Jesus' name. Go. 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 Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Keep coming out. All those prideful spirits. Go. In the name of Jesus right now. Pridefulness, arrogancy, superiority. Come out. Come out right now. Go. In the name of Jesus. Superiority. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them. Let them go. Loose them. Let them go. All the way. All the way. All the way. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. All that to go with laziness, slothfulness. Slothful spirit. You come out. Slothfulness. Come out, you slothful spirit. I bind you. You come out now in the name of Jesus, those slothful spirit. Slothfulness, come out. I bind you. We break your control over people. Those slothful spirits, you have to go all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. That fear of death, you fear of persecution, fear of death, you come out. Fear of persecution, fear of death, come out. In the name of Jesus right now, that fear of death, fear of being persecuted for your faith, all that fear of persecution, fear that you're going to be made fun of, fear that you're going to be hurt by someone over your faith in Christ, the fear of dying for your faith, come out. All the way out. Come on. All that fear of death, fear of dying, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. Fear of death, fear of dying, fear of persecution. Come out. Come on out. All the way out. Loose them and let them go. Come on. Loose them and let them go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Up and out. Up and out. Got to go. In Jesus' name. In the name above every name. Go. Come out now. Come out now. Go. In Jesus' name. The blood is against you, demon. We apply the blood against these demons right now. Go, 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 go. All bar spirits. If you picked up a bar spirit in a bar, the spirit of the bar spirit, make you want to go in bars. Come out. Come out, come out, come out. Make you want to drink in a bar. Come out, come out. Or go in there and mingle and pick up somebody or whatever. Be impressive. Come out of there, all the way out. All those bar spirits, come out. Those bar spirits, those tavern spirits, come out. Come out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus right now. The blood of Jesus, you come out of there. Those bar spirits, come out, come out. Those partying spirits, you come out too. Partying spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus right now, partying spirits. You party, worldly partying spirit, come out. Come out, worldly partying, got to go. In Jesus' name, worldly partying, you got to go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, you have to go. Keep coming out, all the way out, up and out, up and out. Go, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Self-hatred, come out. Hating yourself. Oh, that's so, I'm so messed up. I hate myself. You come out of there. That's a lie. Come out. Come out of there. Self-hatred. Self-pity. Come out. 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 Self-pity. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Holy Spirit, you've got to go. You are defeated by the blood of Jesus right now. You're defeated by the blood of Jesus. You have to come out. All that self-hatred, self-pity, suicidal spirit, come out. Suicidal. Come on, all that suicidal. You want to just die. You want to just die. Come out. All that death and suicide, come out. Death and suicide, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Suicidal, suicide, death wish, wanting to die, come out. Come out, all the way out. Keep going. Keep moving. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. All the way out. All the way out. Spirit of death. You come out too. Spirit of death. You come on out of there. Go. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of death. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Spirit of impatience. Come out. Spirit of impatience, you come out. Come on, loose people. Let them go. Impatience, I bind you. Come out. Impatient spirit, you have to come out in Jesus' name. Impatience, go, go, go all the way out. All that impatience, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All that impatience. Can't be patient. You're impatient. Come on, all the way out. All the way out, impatient. Come out. Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Rebellion, you go through. All rebellion. We break the curses of rebellion, inherited curses, family line curses, where it came through the family and everybody in the family bearing the fruit of that curse of rebellion. Come out, all that rebellion. Well, some of them might not be Christian too, and so they can't get rid of it until they become a Christian. Because deliverance is the children's bread. It belongs to us as children of the living God. So come out of there, impatience, and come out of there, rebellion. Come out all the way. Go, go, go. All that rebellion, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep going all the way out. All the way out. All that rebellious spirit, go. Go, go, all that anger, go, 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 come out, anger, come out, anger, all that anger, go, all that rage, go, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, go, 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 all the way out, Jesus' name, unforgiveness, unforgiveness toward yourself, come out, unforgiveness toward your husband or your wife, come out. Unforgiveness toward self, unforgiveness toward God, unforgiveness toward someone at work or someone at church. Come out, all those unforgiving spirits. Come out. All the way out. This is serious business when you don't forgive. You don't forgive. What could happen? You could be turned over to the tormentors, right? Listen, if we don't forgive, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. It says something about that, too, in the book of Matthew. Well, come out of there. All that unforgiveness. Go. All the way out. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. All the way out. Go. In Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, all that unforgiveness. Go, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come out. Demonic fog in the mind, you come out. Demonic fog, come out of the mind right now. That demonic fog, come out of the mind, all the way out. All the way out of the mind, all the way. Come out, all that demonic fog. Is having a foggy mind. Things are not clear. Come out of there. All that demonic fog. I bind you. You come out of there. In the name of Jesus. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. All the way out. All the way out. The spirit of cancer, you go. Spirit of cancer, we break the curse of cancer over your body in Jesus' name. I go right now. We break the curse of cancer over all the bodies, my body, your body, all bodies in Jesus' name that are listening. You come out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. We break the curses of cancer. Command those cancer spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. Go all the way out. All cancer spirits, go. Come out. I'm all the way out. All the way. Keep moving. The blood of Jesus is against you, cancer spirits. Keep coming out. All the way out. Take a few coughs. Let it go. All the way up out of there. Go. Allergy spirit, you come out. Allergy spirit, come out. All the way out. Allergic to things. Come out, all that allergy. We break the curse of allergies. Come out. All the way out. All those allergy spirits have to go. In Jesus' name, we're talking to you, devil. So you come out of there right now in the name of Jesus. All the way out. Go. Keep going. Allergy spirit. Come out, sinus problem. Come out, sinus spirits in the sinuses. Come out, sinus problems. Come out. Come out of the sinuses. Any demons in the sinuses? Come out right now. Come out. Mouth problem, gum problem, teeth problems. Come out, all the way out. Gingivitis and periodontal disease, all those spirits, you go, come out, frequent cavities, come out, bad breath, come out, the root causes of those things, you come out right now, go, in the name of Jesus, we break the curses over the mouth, over the teeth, come out, over the gums, come out of there, all the way out, over the tongue. Come out over your lungs, over your stomach. Come out of there, all the way out. Go. Come out of there. And we just thank you for healing them all, Lord, in Jesus' name, in the mouth and the teeth and the gums and the throat. All that, be healed, the sinuses, go in Jesus' name and be healed in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for miracles, signs, and wonders in our lives, the supernatural manifestations of the glory of God, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our authority. Thank you, Lord, for our authority over the devil. that the devils will not prevail. We come against the spirit of being intimidated. Come out, that intimidation spirit, being easily intimidated by people that come at you with stronger spirits that you might be carrying, or a lot of spirits. You get intimidated, you come out of there. Intimidation spirits, come out. Come out, come out. All that intimidation, being intimidated by people, come out of there, all the way out. Up and out in Jesus' name. Up and out in Jesus' name. Up and out in Jesus' name. All the way, all the way, all the way. Up and out, up and out, up and out. Go, 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 go. The blood of Jesus is against you, demon. The blood of Jesus is against you, demons. In Jesus' name, you have to go. And we just cover everybody listening with the blood of Jesus, thanking you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, Lord. Bless them going in and coming out. Pray protection and health and healing upon their bodies. Father, we thank you for supernatural power, God, manifesting, healing them. Lord, changing them, making them more godly in Christ Jesus, turning them around to where they walk more and more uprightly. Thank you for sealing this deliverance that they received tonight to them, Lord, that they will keep what they got, and Lord, that they will walk in a greater blessing and a greater anointing, Father. The power of God be on their lives, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. We give you the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Say thank you, Jesus, for ministering to me. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you listening tonight. The Lord bless you. The OasisCommunityChurch.com. If you'd like to write to us, P.O. Box 50162. That's P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. That's 59105. And so if you'd like to email me, an email, a testimony, anything, question, whatever, want me to pray, the Oasis1, the number one, at localnet.com. The Oasis1 at localnet.com. All right, folks, we love you, appreciate you, good night. We'll see you back next week.
Looking through my teary eyes, I saw the world of pain. I've been to many places, looked into countless faces. Paradise, I had asked, where is your day? We're living on a desperate bone. Behind,
Love y'all. Good night. Love my wife. Love you. And you're my church family. Love you. And good night now.